This month I'm starting a series really preaching on healing, and it came out of situations with my own mother where it looks like it's impossible to have a miracle unless God intervenes and steps in. And then I was thinking, well, Lord, miracles are just so commonplace in the Bible, and miracles have happened and in our lives at various times, and I've seen miracles, I've experienced miracles. But Lord, then there sometimes comes a time when it just seems the miracle isn't happening. And how do we overcome? How do we get the victory? How do we press on? And I know that God has promised that all things work out for those who love God. But I think it's also a challenge to us to actually seek God, to humble ourselves before Him, out of our need, out of our desperation, out of our weakness. And sometimes Israel was weak and needy for a long time before God stepped in and intervened. But it seems sometimes it were like generations of prayer that went on, and then God said, it's time to raise up a prophet and to turn the nation back to me. And I think on the whole, as a nation of New Zealand, we need a massive turning to God throughout the whole of New Zealand. So sometimes God needs, first of all, that cry within us, where we're completely humbled, we're completely weak, and we have to cry out to God for Him to step in. And as we do that, and as we persevere, the time does come when God does step in. And at the end of this message, I want us to have a special time of really waiting upon God. And I'm mentioning it now because I want us to really be able to do it with, as a combined church, to really wait upon God for His power and His presence and His Holy Spirit just to come in this church in a greater way. For Jesus to come and fill us and touch us. I know He's walking among us right now, but somehow to get more of a breakthrough with God. I've got more of a hunger for God, and I hope that you have that same kind of hunger. Breakthrough. Lord God, we need a breakthrough with you. Anyone else here who's hungry for more of God? Hungry for more of breakthroughs? So that's what has to always be in our heart. So I've called this message, How Do We Overflow with Faith to Be Healed? And my scripture comes from Acts chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. Reading from Acts chapter 14, verse 8. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Let's just pray again. Lord, I just thank you for your words. Lord Jesus, you are the same miracle worker. Lord, we look on the wall on this side here and it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And Lord Jesus, that's what I believe. I believe that you are the same today. And I want you to arise, Lord God. Arise in our midst. Show us your power, Lord God. We call upon your mighty name. Stretch forth your hand to do miracles, to do signs and wonders, to do great things, to glorify the name of Jesus. Not just so that Christians will be blessed, but so that there will be a move of God throughout this nation. That the whole nation may acknowledge that Jesus is alive, that there is a miracle working God in this land. So we call upon you, Lord, your grace and your mercy. Come and show us what you can do, Lord God, when we submit to you and give our hearts to you and open our hearts to you and wait upon you. Lord, because you've promised that those who wait upon you, those who hope in you, they renew their strength. And Lord, when Israel turned to you and you raised up your prophets and you did mighty signs and wonders, Lord, we want to do that as well. We want to turn to you. We want to see you do your great and mighty works. So let the mighty works of God come forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in our passage of scripture, we have a look at a man who was crippled or lame, unable to walk. But as he heard the good news of the gospel, he was filled with faith. It was like faith was bubbling up inside of his heart. And I hope that faith just bubbles up inside of your heart also right now. And Paul could see it. He must have seen it on his face. It was like the appearance of, I suppose, joy. I don't know what it would look like when you're bubbling up in faith. But I suppose just the presence of God, and you could see God in this person. Don't even know if he had a full understanding of salvation or whether he was born again yet. I don't know. But he was listening to Paul speaking, and faith was arising in his heart. And so Paul knew that all he had to do was speak the word at him. And all he said was, stand up on your feet. No, he didn't even do a long prayer. He didn't even say, in Jesus' name. But we know it was through faith in Jesus. But he didn't put all the trappings there. He just said, stand up on your feet. And at that, the man, he didn't just stand, he jumped. He couldn't wait. He was ready for his miracle. He was ready to receive from God. So my question to myself and to all of us, well, how do we get that kind of faith? How do we have this kind of faith for healing? And I found that the Bible talks about people who were full of faith. And when they pray or when they preach, something must happen. Acts chapter 6, it talks about the choosing of seven men. And they had to take on the responsibility of looking after the widows, making sure they got their food properly. But they, to be chosen for that, even for that job, the apostles said, choose seven men who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And there was a person who stood out in that group, and his name was Stephen. And the scripture says that he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. This is in Acts chapter 6. And it goes on to say that now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great signs and wonders among the people. And we know that opposition came against him. The religious leaders of that area, hating the name of Jesus, hated the ministry of Stephen. But it says that they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Here again we see the presence of God being manifested on a person's face. What would it like to do that? I suppose you couldn't describe something unless you saw it yourself. Because I don't know if the writer had seen angels so many times that he had to say, well, Stephen, you look like an angel. Or whether he just had no words to describe what his face looked like. So he said it looked like the face of an angel. So we know that after that preaching, those people there, they wanted to kill him. And again, the Bible says that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Then it says that he looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So God gave him that open heaven, that vision, that opening of his spiritual eyes, so that he was able to see right up into heaven. But when we look at all these details about Stephen's life, possibly a short ministry, because he was about to die for his faith and receive the martyr's crown, but we see that the Bible says that he was full of wisdom, full of faith, full of God's grace, full of power, and full of the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking, these are wonderful things that we should pray for and ask God to give to us today. Amen. Speaking about Barnabas, also in the book of Acts, but chapter 11, the Bible says that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So again, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being full of faith. speaking about Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he rebuked Elymas the sorcerer, who was struck blind. So again, we see a person full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, so that miracles took place. So that's what my prayer is today, that God will fill you with to overflowing with these things. Let God fill you with wisdom, fill you with faith, fill you with grace, fill you with power, fill you with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And now I want to share a few testimonies that I've read from Dr. David Yongyi Cho. And these are about healing and miracles. And if you don't know Yongyi Cho, he has the largest congregation in the world in South Korea. And I found that these testimonies were just really insightful and quite good. So there's a number of them that go together that form a story. One day, a lady on a stretcher was carried into my office. She was paralyzed from her neck down and could not even move her fingers. As she was being carried into my office on a stretcher, I began to feel a strange sensation. It felt as if my heart was being touched. I knew that something was going to happen. I went beside her stretcher, and when I looked into her eyes, I realized that she already had faith to be healed. Not a dead faith, but a living faith. I touched her forehead with my hand and said, "Sister, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed." Instantly the power of God came and she was healed. She stood up from her stretcher, thrilled, frightened, and amazed. This woman had received such a miraculous healing that word of it instantly spread. Soon afterwards, one rich woman came to the church, also being carried in by a stretcher. She had been a Christian for a long time and a deaconess in the church. She had memorized scripture after scripture regarding divine healing. "I am the Lord that healeth thee," Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. "With his stripes we are healed," Isaiah 53, verse 5. "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses," Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Mark chapter 6, verses 17 to 18. So I prayed with all my might, but nothing happened. Then I shouted, repeating the same prayers for healing. I used the word of God, and I even jumped, but nothing happened. I asked her to stand up by faith. Many times she would stand, but the moment I took my hand away, she would fall down like a piece of dead wood. Then I would say, "Have more faith and stand." Again she would stand up, and again she would fall down. She would then claim to me that she had all the faith in her in the world, but her faith would never work. I became quite depressed, and eventually she began to cry. She claimed, "Pastor, you are prejudiced. You love that other woman so much that you healed her, but you don't really love me, so I am still sick. You are prejudiced." "Sister," I replied, "I've done everything. You saw me. I've prayed. I've cried. I have jumped. I have shouted. I did everything that a Pentecostal preacher can do, but nothing happens. And I can't understand it. In my church, this bothersome problem of one being healed while another remains ill has not limited itself to this one situation. World famous evangelists have come to my church and enthusiastically preached, "Every one of you is going to be healed. Every one of you." They poured out words of faith and many people would receive healing, but then they would leave, receiving all the glory. And I would be left to contend with those not healed. These people would come to me, discouraged and cast down, and say, "We are not healed. God has given up on us. We are completely forgotten. Why should we continue to struggle to come to Jesus and believe?" I then travailed and cried, "Why, Father? Why should it be like this? God, please give me the answer, a very clear-cut answer." And he did. So I'd now like to share this answer with you and some realizations that led me to this understanding. People think that they can believe on the Word of God. They can. But they fail to differentiate between the Word of God, which gives general knowledge about God, and the Word of God, which God uses to impart faith about specific circumstances into a person's heart. It is this latter type of faith which brings miracles. In the Greek language, there are two words for word, logos and rhema. The world was created by the word, logos, of God. Logos is the general word of God, stretching from Genesis to Revelation. For all these books, directly or indirectly, tell about the word, Jesus Christ. By reading the Logos from Genesis to Revelation, you can receive all the knowledge you need about God and his promises. But just by reading, you do not receive faith. You've received knowledge and understanding about God, but you did not receive faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, shows that the material used to build faith is more than just reading God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In this scripture, word is not logos, but rhema. Faith specifically comes by hearing the rhema. Many scholars define rhema as being the Holy Spirit using a few verses of scripture and quickening it personally to an individual. Yongyi Cho, in his definition of rhema, is that rhema is a specific word to a specific person in a specific situation. And he then goes and illustrates this with a couple of illustrations that I think are quite good. So I want to continue with another testimony of Yongyi Cho. Once in Korea, a lady who had a tremendous youth ministry on a mountain. She had a great ministry. When she stood up and people came forward, they would fall down, slain under the power of the Holy Spirit. Many young people would flock to her meetings. And when she held a youth campaign on that mountain, thousands of young people came in to join. During the week of the youth campaign, it rained heavily, and all the rivers overflowed. A group of young people wanted to go to the town on the opposite side of the river, where the meetings were being held. But when they came to the bank of the river, it was flooded. There was not a bridge or a boat to be seen, and most of them became discouraged. But three girls got together and said, "Why can't we just wade through the water? Peter walked on the water. And Peter's God is our God. Peter's Jesus is our Jesus. And Peter's faith is our faith. Peter believed, and we should do all the more. We're going to cross this river." The river was completely flooded, but these three girls knelt down and held hands together, quoting the scriptures containing the story of Peter walking on the water. And they claimed that they could believe in the same way. Then, in the sight of the rest of their group, they shouted and began to wade through the water. Immediately, they were swept away by an angry flood. And after 3 days, their dead bodies were found in the open sea. This incident caused repercussions throughout Korea. Non-Christian newspapers carried the story, making headlines of it. Their gods could not save them. Why did God not answer their prayer of faith? So unbelievers had a real heyday, and as a result of this occurrence, the Christian church experienced a slump, feeling depressed and discouraged, having no adequate answer. This became a topic of discussion all over Korea, and many previously good Christians lost their faith. They would say, "These girls believed exactly as our ministers had taught. They exercised their faith." From the platform, our pastors constantly urged the people to boldly exercise their faith in the Word of God. These girls just did that, so why didn't God answer? Those girls had believed. They had exercised faith based on the Word of God. But God had no reason to support their faith. Peter never walked on the water because of logos, which gives general knowledge about God. Peter required that Christ give a specific word to him. Peter asked, "Lord, if you are Jesus, command me to come." Jesus replied, "Come." The word Christ gave to Peter was not logos, but rhema. He gave a specific word, "come," to a specific person in a specific situation. Rhema brings faith. Peter never walked on the water by knowledge of God alone. But these girls had only logos, a general knowledge of God. And in this case, the working of God through Peter. They exercised their human faith on logos, but there was a difference between the way these girls exercised faith and the way Peter exercised faith. You may listen to the Word of God and you may study the Bible, but only when the Holy Spirit comes and quickens Scripture to your heart, burning them in your soul, and letting you know that they apply directly to your specific situation, does logos become rhema. So I could apply this to walking into a fire. Yes, we have a story in the Bible about three men who walked into the fire and they didn't get burned up. But does that mean that we should walk into a fire? No. Unless God gives a direct command. And of course, you've got to test that with wisdom. Otherwise, if you're crazy, you will die. So you've got to be wise. Logos is given to everybody. It is given to all so that they may gain knowledge about God. But rhema is given to a specific person who is waiting upon the Holy Spirit so that God quickens logos into rhema. If you never have time to wait upon the Lord, then the Lord can never come and quicken the needed scripture to your heart. This is a busy age. People come to church and are entertained. They hear a short sermon and are dismissed without having time of waiting upon the Lord. They get the logos, but since they did not receive rhema, they miss out on seeing the miraculous workings of God and begin to doubt His power. Christians should be given time to wait upon the Lord so that the Holy Spirit can have a full opportunity to deal with their lives and inspire them through the Scripture. All the promises are potentially yours. But never simply pick a promise out of God's word and say, "Oh, this is mine because I repeat it over and over again." You have to make it yours in practical reality by waiting upon the Lord. Before the Lord quickens a scripture to an individual, the Lord may need to do many things in their heart. He wants to cleanse your life and make you surrendered to Him. Confess your sins. Apply the blood of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are saved. and receive eternal life. Then the Holy Spirit is going to prick your heart with a scripture of divine healing, inspire you, and give you the rhema you need. But in order for this to happen, you must wait on the Lord. And sometimes we don't know how long we have to wait upon the Lord. So we have to actually make a commitment to wait upon the Lord. Divine healing is all according to God's sovereign will. Sometimes a person receives healing instantly. Another person must wait a longer time. We have to be careful not to move ahead of God. Yet we also have to seek after Him with all our hearts. I pray until I know God's timing. God's timing is different from our timing. You must pray until you have a real peace. For peace is like a chief umpire. If after you pray, you still feel a restlessness in your spirit, then the timing is not proper. That means there is still a red light. So keep praying and waiting. When the red light is switched off and you see the green light, peace will come into your heart. Then you should jump and go. Go then with full speed. With God's blessing and God's rhema, miracles will follow you. When you wait upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit will impart His faith to you. Great miracles will follow you as you act on this faith. So wait upon the Lord. Never consider it a waste of time. When God speaks to your heart, He can in 1 second do far greater things than you could do in one entire year. Wait upon the Lord and you will see great things accomplished. So the aim of this is to lead us and in our hearts to really wait upon the Lord. But what does that mean? To me it means to look to God in your heart with expectation, with hope, with trust, with surrender, with your request, bringing it before Him, waiting upon Him, committing it into His hands, continuing. I would say that it's an attitude of faith, but it's an attitude of faith in God's presence, that you are in God's presence by looking towards God in your heart and seeking to remain in God's presence. It's acknowledging that without God we can do nothing, but in Christ we can do all things, for He is the one who will strengthen us. Waiting upon God allows Him to speak to your heart, and that is what fills you with faith. The Word of God that He specifically wants to speak to you. One simple word from God in that place, it will be with you for the rest of your life. You will know that God has spoken to you. The Bible says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him." So here we see that we are to rest in God with confidence that He is the source of complete salvation. The Bible often talks about how God is our refuge and our fortress. And as we wait upon God, it helps us to trust and to acknowledge His power, the power that belongs to Him, and also God's unfailing love. And these things become more real in our hearts. I think sometimes when we pray, we need this kind of waiting upon God so that we're really believing in His power, really trusting in Him, so that when we pray, we know that our prayer is going to God and God's receiving it. Jesus walked in that all the time. He walked in that faith. He walked in that presence of His Father. His heart was full of it all the time. I think we're so easily distracted by the world and pulled here and there, and maybe our mind isn't full of knowing the Word of God as we should, and keeping the Scriptures as our source of inspiration and the foundation of our faith is the Word of God. But our minds are sort of distracted by the world. So sometimes it's like we pray without waiting upon God, and it's like really we don't have much faith that our prayers are going to do anything, because we haven't come into God's presence. We haven't waited upon Him. We haven't sought Him. After talking about God's great works, Job asked this question: who then can understand the thunder of His power? Now, Job was going through great difficulties and great problems in his life, but his heart was still focused on God, and he was thinking, who can understand the power of God? And Job also said during his troubles, I will teach you about the power of God. I found that was quite interesting. Job, you've got a man who's going through so many problems. All his friends were bombarding him with his sins, you could say, and pulling him down. But Job said, I will teach you about the power of God. And if you saw him, he looked like a mess. His body was covered in scabies and scabs and all kinds of things. But obviously God was doing some things in his heart. And he said, I will teach you about the power of God. So by waiting upon the Lord during our difficult times, we can also teach people about the power of God. The Bible says that God is exalted in His power. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. We are to stop and consider God's wonders. For He comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is exalted in power. They're also from the book of Job, those quotes. So we need to understand the importance of waiting upon the Holy Spirit for the power and the presence of Jesus Christ to be demonstrated among us. When we place our hope firmly in the Lord, we will renew our strength. When we wait upon the Lord in the sense of having hope and expectation and patience, but yes, He will move. It is a type of prayer mixed with faith. It is giving time to God for Him to work among us. It is allowing God to fill you with His wisdom, faith, grace, power, and His Spirit. Very soon I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray together. But today I want you to stand with faith. I want you to be proactive in the prayer, not passive, but by focusing your heart to really reach out to God. Focusing the eyes of your heart upon Jesus. That Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and Jesus is glorified. He has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And the power of God flows through Jesus, and it can flow into you as we pray, as we wait upon the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord to be manifested among us and to speak forth the release of the power of God. So I'll just ask everyone to stand right now in this attitude of prayer. Attitude of waiting upon the Lord. Just please close your eyes and look to Jesus standing in His glory. Possibly if you're seeking God for a healing, then you could put your hands over your chest or on the place that needs healing. And as we wait upon the Lord and just look for Jesus to walk among us right now, we're looking to Jesus to touch you with His healing anointing and His healing power. And just to receive His presence and to receive from Him. Thank you, Lord. We know that You want us to be filled with Your presence. We know, Father God, it is Your will to heal. But how do we get a breakthrough in every specific situation? We do it by surrendering to You, Lord. We do it by waiting upon You. We do it by seeking Your face, Lord God. Just remember some of God's promises, that He has promised that as you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. So as you reach out to God in your heart, just think of God. He's also drawing near and coming near to you. The Bible says that when Jesus stood before the people, power flowed out of him and healed them all. Lord Jesus, it's your power that we ask to flow among us right now. Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's power flows out of you. So Lord, by faith, we reach out to you, Lord Jesus, to touch the edge of your garments. And Lord, I also have a specific prayer that I want to apply, that I've written down. But Lord, as I speak it out, I just pray that, Lord God, you will release more of your presence and power into our lives. Lord God Almighty, open our spiritual eyes to see your glory. Give us a greater revelation of what you can do. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Anoint us with your power and presence. You are our healer. And Lord, I'm believing for your healing power to touch people right now. Let us receive a mighty move of God from your hand, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here with us. It's your promise that where two or three gather in your name, you are here with us. Walk among us, Lord Jesus, and open our hearts to you more and more. And come in, Lord Jesus. Come and fill our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fall upon your people like a dove. Fill us with the peace of God. Lord, we receive your love, your joy, and your peace. Lord, let it be your presence that just ministers to every person here today. Again, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Put your mighty hand upon people, Lord God. Bring breakthroughs into people's lives. Lord, release your blessings. Lord, we receive the promises of God, your blessings. Lord, it's your grace, it's your divine favor. Let your mighty hand be upon people in a stronger way. Let them know today that the mighty hand of God is upon them for a purpose, for a destiny, the calling, the high call of God that we speak upon every person. Lord, release more of your power so the bondages are broken. We command every curse to be broken in Jesus' mighty name. We bind the works of the devil. We bind any spirit of witchcraft. We call upon you, Lord God Almighty, to stretch forth your hand to heal and to do signs and wonders. Release your healing power, Lord God. We rebuke sickness in Jesus' mighty name. We command sickness or any pain to come out of people's bodies in Jesus' name. Demonic powers be broken in Jesus' name. Sickness go from them. Be delivered and set free. We proclaim, Lord Jesus, that you are our miracle-working Savior. And Lord, we are strengthened in faith because we believe the Word of God. And Lord, we wait upon the Holy Spirit to turn that Word of God into like a sword also in our mouths, so that we speak the Word of God with faith and power. So Lord, you send forth your Word and heal people. Lord, we also ask that you release spiritual gifts in our lives. Release your glory like the cloud of glory that filled Solomon's temple. Let our hearts be filled with your presence. Let the light of God shine upon us. And Lord, I know that there is a literal powerful light that shines from you. Let that light shine upon us right now in Jesus' name. Lord, in your word we see the wind of the Holy Spirit. Release the wind of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fragrance or the perfume of the Holy Spirit. Also release the fire of God in our hearts. Lord, there's been many in this church who have seen pictures of the fire of God in this church, like in Acts chapter 2, and we just keep speaking it forth in Jesus' name. And let that fire come upon people right now, the fire in the presence of God, the anointing of God. So we receive these blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Going to close the service very soon, but anyone who just wants to continue to wait upon God, or if you need specific laying on of hands for healing or extra prayer, the invitation is that you'll be able to come forward and just continue to seek the Lord if you have that need. But God's presence is with you in a powerful way. Carry that presence of God with you throughout the rest of this week. God be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. As I said, if you need prayer, just come to the front. Thank you.